Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
Repeat after me, the only way that I can keep my way pure is to guard it according to this word. This word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Today, I will receive the word implanted, which is able to save my soul. Stay on your feet and give God praise. Stay on your feet. Hebrews chapter 1. Come on, remain standing. We're going to read two verses. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Ooh. It's on the screen as well. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. This is the word of the Lord. You can have your seats. Get that fresh notebook out. The book of Hebrews. Turn to you a good old fresh page. We'll be in this book for a year. And since there are, leave me here for a second. Give me a little more low. A little more low. Since there are 13 chapters, y'all pray for me. Let's turn it off. There it is. I only got 12 months. So apparently I'm going to have to do some more work sometime in here. So, no, the baby understood the assignment. So, the book of Hebrews, I understand. Can I give y'all some background? All year I said that we were going to be putting things in order. Kate, I did my heart good. I looked over at Kay's notes, got her year on it, and her theme, she liked first page. That did my heart good. All year I said that we would be putting things in order and placing God in his place. And God led me to the book of Hebrews because it is a serious Christological book. I'll talk about what Christology is here, as my grandfather would say, directly. But the book of Hebrews is often, and I believe Bishop Desmond Daphne wrongfully categorized as a letter. The New Testament is broken into categories. You have your Gospels, you have history, and then you have your letters, and then you have prophecy. Hebrews would fall within the categorization of letters or epistles. But the more you look at it, I don't really think it's a letter. As a matter of fact, some people much smarter than me are beginning to agree with me, because a letter normally has a couple of characteristics. Who is written to, who's writing it, what they saying, you know, all that type of stuff. The Epistle of Hebrews differs because while it ends like a letter, it doesn't begin like one. No opening salutation, no names of the writer, no people who is addressed to. We don't know who he's talking to. We know authenticity, but we don't know which group of Hebrew people they were. As a matter of fact, many theologians are beginning to say it's not a letter at all, but instead it's a sermon. It's a 13-chapter sermon, and y'all think I preach long. So when we look at this letter, we understand that the writer, who some believe would be Paul or one of his associates, is strongly Christological. Christology is the study of the person and work of Jesus Christ. But here's our issue, Marketplace. We done messed around in this year of order and clarifying what the Lord is saying and getting our lives right, bless our hearts. We seem to have made Jesus just another man. His humanity seems to be bigger than his divinity. We like to talk about his suffering and overlook his triumph. And we do that because if I focus on his suffering, I get to justify staying in my own. As opposed to focusing on his triumph so that I could also be triumphant. The scripture actually says, Gigi, that we die like him, get up like him. Christology not only talks about the person and work of Jesus, but it also aims to answer the question, who do men say that I am? Some of us have been going through our lives talking a lot and believing a little. I'll say it again. Some of us have been going through our lives talking a lot and believing a little. Truth is, we say he's the Christ, but don't live like he is. A biblical Christology forms the foundation of honor. If you don't know who he is, how can you honor him? When the judge walks in the room, the reason that we're willing to stand is because we know it's a judge. But if nobody ever identified him as your honor, you wouldn't know to stand up. The reason that some of us operate in dishonor is not pure rebellion. You just don't know who Jesus is. So we begin with these first two verses on the screen. Go back to verse one. Because in Hebrews, the entire book aims to convince us that Jesus is greater than. The whole book. Okay. Crowd experiment. How many of y'all got some stuff y'all going through already? We ain't even 10 days in. Hands up. Hands down. How many of you have had some stress already? Not even 10 days in, hands down. Okay, here's the gospel. He's greater. Simon, this mic don't like me. He's greater. I think I got this other one on now. There it is. Can y'all hear me? That's better. So in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers,
Look at it closely. He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and many ways. Stop. So remember, he's speaking to a group of people who would have been very familiar with the Old Testament. And the writer is saying in his opening line, God spoke to us a lot, many portions, like vibrantly and in various ways. That's the way he spoke. Then it says in verse 2, but in the last days, he's spoken to us in his son. In his son. Now, let me give y'all a little Bible help here for your Bibles who do it. If you notice, watch this. Most Bibles, when they're talking about the Lord, they will capitalize the personal pronoun. They'll capitalize the personal pronoun in the Bible so that you know that we're referring to a deity. But there's something profound in verse 2. His, capital H, son, capital S. They capitalize both pronouns referring to two different people to clarify that there's still only one deity. Literally, in verse 2, we see a clear reference to the fullness of the Godhead, the mysterion of God in three persons, but only one God. His, well, that's God. Son, well, that's also God, but it's only one. Oh. Some of y'all just read right over that, like, yeah. So he spoke vibrantly in the Old Testament. But in these last days, he's spoken in his son, who he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. Now, this would have been people like Abraham, who received the covenant of promise around Genesis chapter 12. Go read it when you get a chance. I will bless them who bless you. I will curse them who curse you. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And through him, we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We see a bloodline of power come from there. As a matter of fact, Galatians would tell us, if ye be Christ, you're Abraham's seed. And heirs according to that same promise. Then we would see people like Moses. God spoke to him so good. When he got upset with Miriam, he said, look, I don't speak to you like I speak to Moses. He told Miriam, I know you ain't talking crazy to Moses. I speak to him face to face. Moses, it got so good to Moses that Moses went up into the mountain, came down, and his face was glowing. His face is glowing. And they veiled his face because they couldn't stand to look at him. Oh, come on, there's so much there. They veiled his face because they couldn't stand to look at him. And then in the New Testament, it said, and that's your problem. Because now when you read the Old Testament, you're still veiled like Moses is. Never mind. This would have been prophets like Elijah who stood against Jezebel. Or Elisha, who doubled the miracles of his predecessor. It would have been prophets like Nathan, who stood up to David and was like, you the man. Even these vibrant prophets that, you know, like, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Highly respected. Highly honored men, and rightfully so. But something happens when Jesus comes on the scene. Come on, I'm going somewhere. All these guys are walking around, Jesus comes on the scene, and they're like, what about Moses? Jesus is like, What about Abraham? What about Elijah? Come on, let me go. 2024. What about social media? Y'all don't see, it's okay. What about all these other voices that we have elevated above the voice of God? In the first sermon of Jesus, he was already making a man. You have heard that it hath been said, but I say. They was like, who are you? Talk. He would say stuff like, y'all are slaves. They respond, our fathers can't tell us we slaves. We ain't never been a slave to nobody. Our father's Abraham. Yep, you're a slave of sin. They didn't like Jesus at all. Just like many of us don't really. Oh, no, no. Jesus, I love you with my whole line. Line. I know you don't love him with your whole heart because he doesn't even get your heart's time. So Jesus shows up on the scene, and we immediately know, Sister Pat, we got a problem. Prove it. Turn to Mark 6. Come on, let's work. So in the last day, he's trying to speak to us through Jesus. He wants to speak to us through Jesus. Somebody say, what did he say? Well, see, we can't hear him because we done elevated other voices. We, I would argue, some of us are trapped in Mark 6. Verse 1, Jesus went out from there and came to his hometown. His disciples followed him. Sabbath came. He began to teach in the synagogue. Many listeners were astonished. Where did this man get these things? What is this wisdom given to him? Miracles performed by his hands. Stop this. So clearly we know chronologically that by this time he has disciples, he's been teaching, and he's already doing miracles. So they've seen Jesus showing out. Are y'all with me? Verse 3. Is not this the carpenter? Go back to verse 2. He began to teach in the synagogue. Many listeners were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what is this wisdom given to him and such miracles as these performed by his hands? So literally, you're agreeing that he's great. You're agreeing that he's doing things you've never seen him do. You're agreeing that Jesus ain't like everybody else. And in verse 3, you minimize your agreement because it don't match with what you know. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, Simon, are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. I'm offended because you're supposed to be like me and you're not like me. Okay. I'm offended because why can you do stuff I cannot do and accomplish things? See, some people don't care for you because your anointing is a threat. You intimidate their laziness. You come against what they will not correct in themselves. Are y'all here? They took offense at him. Verse 4. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his own relatives and in his own household. Leave this up. I hate the fact that we use this verse as justification. We use this verse as justification for poor behavior. We see a lack of honor and we use it like a badge. A prophet is without honor. This is not a good thing. This should cause us to repent. Notice, I'm about to mess up. Listen, notice that it doesn't say God is without honor. It says a prophet is without honor. Why is that important? Because Jesus was not elevating his deity as the reason for honor. He was elevating his work as the reason for honor. So, in other words, don't honor me because I'm God. Honor me because I'm honorable. My wife and I were talking about this the other day. In the military, in the Secret Service specifically, they don't have to like the president. Because they don't serve the man. They serve the office. So their opinion of the one in the office is irrelevant. And the only way that they abandon the office is if the person in the office is no longer official. You no longer want to do what the office requires. I'm going to do and serve the office. This is why Paul said, I got scripture. Follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, the moment I stop following Christ, please stop following me. Won't you go around following me? And I have abandoned the office that is honorable. It's quiet in here. And so, prophet is without honor. Now we in here, but y'all know, verse 5, put it up. He could do no miracle there. Except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. So because of their lack of honor, literally, God in flesh couldn't move. God in flesh was hindered, not because of the sickness, not because of the problem, but because of the lack of honor. He could have healed everybody in the whole town, but there was no honor there. Verse 6, he wondered at their unbelief, and he was going around the villages teaching. So Jesus comes on the scene. In him, the Bible says, dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and they couldn't honor him. I would argue that many of us have lost honor for Jesus as well. Maybe you never had it. Maybe you only had honor for church and never had honor for Jesus. I don't understand how you can say you honor the bride but hate the groom. And the truth is, put Hebrews 1:2 back on the screen for me. Look at our key verse so y'all understand. That's verse 1. Go to the next one. In these last days, he's spoken to us in his son. Now, wait. Not will speak. He's spoken. So watch this. That means your answer is in the son. And if you don't honor the son, you don't have your answer. Your answer is being held up if you don't have honor. Because he spoke already. Your answers are in Jesus. And if you don't honor where your answer is, you can't get the answer. Does that make sense? Go to church all you want to. But if you don't honor where the answer is, the babies are having a concert. They're like, look, all together now. They're like, if y'all not gonna help the preacher preach, we will. Let me give you three things. Number one, when we lose honor, we lose what honor releases. I'll do it again. Don't y'all get upset with the babies. That'd be all right. I need those babies to be able to be okay in here. See? Because some mothers had to struggle. See, I'm going to make me. Some mothers had to struggle to get them in here. Don't be doing all that. Why that baby crying? Because it's a baby. Babies cry. Now here in a minute, they can take them over here and they'll be able to see. But right now, ain't no TV in there and they're trying to hear what I got to say. Amen. So maybe some of these older mothers, Titus 2. Never mind. Sorry, I had to get pastoral right quick. So while y'all turning around, help her soothe that baby. Now, number one, when we lose honor, we lose what honor releases. If you don't have honor, you can't get what comes with honor. Number two, when we lose honor, we validate our lack of respect. I'll say it again. When we lose honor, you validate your lack of respect. You can't keep telling me you respect me, but you don't honor me. Number three. Huh? One more time. Which one you need? Two. Do y'all have one? Y'all need two again? Very well. When we lose honor, we validate our lack of respect. As a matter of fact, thank you. This is actually a litmus test. If I lose honor for God, I have validated that I don't respect God. And watch this. Let me go even further. I can tell when you honor God by how you live. Homie telling me I honor God and you live trifling. Number three, when we lose honor, this is the important one. Listen, when we lose honor, we assign great importance to things beneath God. Gigi heard me. I'll give it to you. That was one of three. When we lose honor, we assign great importance to things beneath God. One more time. When we lose honor, we assign great importance to things beneath God. In other words, you're elevating stuff that God is like, that don't even matter. Crying about stuff that shouldn't even make you shed a tear. Mad about stuff you shouldn't be mad about. Arguing about stuff that you shouldn't even be talking about. Thinking about things that you should have left. Worried about stuff that ain't even a problem. Same is true today. If we're going to find this lost honor, if we're going to find lost honor, he's speaking to me through Jesus. He's speaking to me through Jesus. Who is Jesus, though? Who is he? Who do men say that I am? Right? Who is he? Oh, he's Elijah. Come on, study the text. Some say thou art the old guys. Some say. This is an important scripture to understand, Kia, because he asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say. In other words, we listen to the rumors about you. We are fully aware of the gossip. Because if I was paying attention to you, when did I have time to hear what some said? And if I can say some say, that means that I have lended my ear to unbelievers. Furthermore, yes, why in the world did the disciples tell Jesus what other people were saying on demand? Why were they reactive and not proactive? Here's the way the story should have went. I was out in the town and somebody said, because Peter, you want to pull your knife about everything else? Why do you say nothing about this? Come on, Thomas, you doubt me, but why do you doubt that? If you heard something about me out in these Jerusalem streets, why do you say something when I was feeding you and clothing you and pouring into you and giving you somewhere to stay and healing your mother-in-law, Peter? So you mean to tell me you've been holding the gossip about me until I asked you about it? That's not honor. The reality is some of us enjoy harboring the fugitive of lies. So instead of communicating where you can get truth, you harbor the lie. Because if I actually ask you the truth, I gotta give up the lie. And the lie feels like the tea. Oh, y'all not in here. When I gotta lie, it feel like I know something. And since I carry no divine revelation, I only want to carry what I think is your secrets. But the truth is, it's all wrong. Bunch of low levels, non-knowing God folks. Some of us have lost honor. And to get that honor back, you better place Jesus in his proper position. Jesus is greater than them other voices. Jesus is greater than those other voices. Jesus is greater than those other voices. Jesus is greater than those other voices. Come on. Okay, we're going to talk today. I know my timer said I got 8 minutes of my time, and I might take extra. Got 8 minutes. Now watch this. Well, Bishop, you know, you gonna take extra time? Well, here's the thing. Y'all watch 2.5, 2 hours and 2:45. Y'all watch 2 hours and 45 minutes of Cat Williams. And watch this. I actually saw somebody who watched all 2:46. Watch and posted their notes online. Did you see this? They said, listen, for all of y'all who ain't seen it yet, here's my notes. Here's my detailed overview of the 2-hour and 46-minute interview. And then, since said interview, the fact checkers have been combing the internet. I ain't never seen so many 8th grade photos of Cat Williams at Fairport. I ain't never seen so many grainy cell phone videos of Cat Williams in Detroit. Y'all not in this room. Because they're fact checking, they're validating, they're corresponding, they're lining up. But some of you today will get rebuked by the word and be silent on them same social media. Y'all ain't gonna go. Where your notes? Post the notes to this right here. Post these notes. Fact check your life. Come on, put up the grainy video of how you used to be and put it next to how good God has been. Fact check that. Fact check how good Jesus has been to you. Fact check how you couldn't have made it without him. Show that video of you at the party. Put it up. Put up that video with that hand in your hand. Come on. Go ahead, put up the video when you had a bottle in each hand. Put that video up. Put the caption under it. If it had not been. Since we want to be truthful in 2024, go ahead, put it up. It was me. I did it. But God is the greatest power, and he will never be defeated. Now, y'all done lost honor because y'all don't want to be truthful. Up here, acting like you've been like this forever. Somebody need to tell the truth. Because the reality is, some of you in this room was ratchet. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. A hot mess. It's not that you didn't do it. You just didn't get caught. And some of y'all did get caught. It's just your record still sealed. Some of y'all stuff got expunged. Some of y'all record is redacted. Y'all better thank God. He spoke to us through his son. And here's the thing. I want y'all to elevate the voice of Jesus over your own voice. That felt good to me. That felt good to me, Danielle Bird. I need you to elevate the voice of Jesus over your own voice. I can't make it. That's a lie. It didn't work last year. It's this year. Now what? Now what? Try again. Try again. Do over. Control or delete. The other day, I was thinking about that. Y'all okay? You know, my background is in technology. I used to write code for the government. And back in the day when the computer acted up, you hit that control or delete. You could restart, you could reset. If it really got ugly, you just hold the power button down. When you rebooted it, it would come out and say, clearly there's been a problem. I don't even know why you did me like that. But here's the thing. Lord, I'm not going to make it. Jesus Christ, Melita, this is all your fault. So listen. In computer programming, there's a concept called sandboxing. Yeah. I'm about to, calm. Sandboxing. Sandboxing means that every process runs in its own container. See, the way it used to work, Deacon Sanders, is if one process on the computer went rogue, you had to shut down everything, even the stuff that's going right. Sandboxing says that every process has its own little box or its own sandbox. So when something goes wrong, I don't have to reboot everything. I can kill the rogue process. Oh, Lord, have mercy. See, here's what's about to happen in many of your life if you got enough courage to elevate his voice and put things in the right place. You're not going to have to start from scratch. What the Lord is about to allow you to do if you'll listen to what he says is he's going to allow you to pinpoint the rogue process in your life. In other words, the one thing in your life that's causing the other things to slow down. Y'all, why my computer running so slow? Why is my life running so slow? Why is it taking so long? See, what's happening is I'm trying not to give you all this computer jargon, but it's the only way I can explain it. See, what happens is when a process goes rogue, it starts consuming memory. When the process starts doing what it's not supposed to do, your computer only has so much memory, and the process starts taking memory. And now all the other stuff that ain't doing nothing wrong is like, I don't have enough memory to function correctly because the rogue process has taken all the memory. So when I kill the rogue process, it frees the memory up. Yeah. So watch, this is why some of you couldn't praise the way you needed to even a few minutes ago, because there were some other things in your life that were consuming the memory that you needed to praise God. You were sitting up there worried about a bill. That's a rogue process. You were worried about a medical issue. That's a rogue process. You were worried about what somebody said about you. It's a rogue process. Kill the rogue processes. Elevate the voice of God and bless the Lord. It's consuming too much of your memory. Huh? When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me. But I can't think of the goodness because my memory is being consumed by the burden, by the pain, by the issue. You better kill them rogue processes. Jesus is greater. Say he's greater. Okay. Listen, let me say this. And I'm just going in. Listen. In order to get Jesus where he's supposed to be, because we're going to get this honor back, let me give you four things and I'm done. And I teach the rest on Wednesday. Y'all learning anything? Because some of y'all need to control or delete some stuff that y'all like. See, you can literally have a virus in your system that's consuming memory, but yet not visible. The way that you determine that something is wrong is when it's not going right. Oh. Like, this ain't running the way it's supposed to run. Something's wrong. And see, what we used to do is we can pull up now a list of all the processes and determine which one is taking the memory. Now watch this. I'll give y'all one more and I'm going to give you these 4 points. I'm going to sit down. Let me say this. If you have spent a lot of money for the best computer possible and it's still running slow, something wrong. Something ain't working right. This thing expensive, huh? For all my Apple computer people, you know, Apple got an Apple tax. Some of these computers that Apple have, like you, if you go in and get the new Mac Pro or Mac Pro Max with the M2 Ultra chip in there, and you get the dual M2 Ultras with all the memory, you can spend like $60,000-$70,000 on one computer. Let me tell you something. When I hit enter, it need to be now. That's what I don't need no wait. It shouldn't be $70,000 now. I need instant. Everything I click, when my mouse hover close to the button, the computer should be like, I'm already there, bro. I'm already there. You ain't even gotta worry about it. I'm already there. It need to do everything. Now, here's the thing. Y'all like, I don't get it. You've been bought. You're expensive. Woo! You cost a whole lot. Matter of fact, you're priceless. I don't care what they say. You cost a ton. So when your system is not functioning, have you ever noticed that with all of the money and with all of the technology and all of the engineering in the world, they haven't been able to create one of you artificially? That's because you're priceless. You cost a ton. I mean, you cost a whole lot. Which means that when stuff ain't working right in our body, don't count that thing as old age. Don't, y'all not in here. Don't count that thing as if that's just the way it is. No, I need to control all, delete, and figure out what rogue process is running up in here. I am a highly specific piece of spiritual equipment. I am a highly specific, highly specialized piece of spiritual equipment. I am fine-tuned by the Master and assembled by the Holy Ghost. I function under, the current of the anointing. And you mean to tell me that when God tells me to do something, I'm incapable? Man, I'm a supercomputer in the spirit. See, I said that, and some of y'all was like, maybe that's just Bishop. It's you too! Yes. You too. How do I get there? Let me give y'all four things and I'm done. I'm 7 minutes over. I wasn't apologizing. Four things and I'm over. How do we get there? Number one, we learn through worship. I'm trying to get this honor back. We learn through worship. Worship is presenting your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. We don't learn through the music. We learn through the presentation of holy bodies. Oh boy. You don't learn through the song. Worship is not a song. Worship is a behavior. It's not a song. Like, ooh, that's slow. That's a worship song. No, that's not the way God works. It is the elevation of who He is in our lives. Number two, we learn through our fellowship with Him. We learn through our fellowship with Him. As Brother Lawrence would call it, the practice of the presence. We learn by practicing being with Him daily. Not only in triumph, but also in suffering. There's something called the fellowship of His suffering. Being conformed to His death. So number one, again, we learn through worship. Number two, we learn through our fellowship with Him. Watch this. Number three, we're not going to like this one. We learn through the yoke. We learn through the yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. See, that's submission. Lord, take me higher. He said, cool. Take my yoke. Help me understand. Very good. Take my yoke. So again, number one, I learn through worship. Elevation of who He is. Number two, I learn through our fellowship with Him. It's the practicing of the presence. Number three, I learned through the yoke. That's submission. And then finally, number four, we learn through the community of like and precious faith. We learn through the community of like and precious faith. I should be able to look around you and see some people who go, me too, Bishop. Not me too is bad. Me too, He made a way. Me too, He opened doors. It's the community of like and precious faith. We're all supposed to be lively stones. Salt and light, living out the blueprint. See, the problem with some of these modern testimony services is they only tell the test. You need three again? Like. L-I-K-E. Oh, I love it here. I love it here. I love it. Like and precious. See, we only tell the test. It was bad. It was hard. It was rough. It was terrible. What about the other side? You better give me the victory. See, testimony shouldn't stop with, I'm going up the rough side of the mountain. Doing my best to make it in. I just want to know, did you make it in? And why did we look at that song like it was a song of burden? You ever been to a rock climbing studio? Who climbs up smooth mountains? Okay. Like, come on, a real climber would look at a rough mountain and rejoice. Here we go. Ooh, got plenty of stuff to hold on to. We're going to do a finger hold over there, and we're going to swing the leg over that one. Then we're going to come across here, and I'm going to grab over here. I can get my whole forearm over here. Man, that ledge over there is so rough, I can sit for a while and rest. Ain't no real climber mad about a rough mountain. It's an accomplishment. See, don't confuse mountains with roads. Don't confuse mountains with roads. See, a smooth road is one thing, but don't nobody want a smooth mountain. And the now watch. See, mountains are where we hear. Roads take us from mountain to mountain. The Bible calls it faith to faith and glory to glory. I need to get from one mountain to another as smoothly and quickly as possible. But once I get to a mountain, I ain't worried about how rough it is, because watch this, every mountain is a new Sinai. And every Sinai is a new set of instructions. So I want to go up there and commune with God. Oh, he walks with me through the valley, but he talks to me in the mountaintop. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So while we're walking on this move, you got me. But once you want to talk, you take me up. God elevates you to talk to you. And sometimes your elevation requires you to go down. I'm trying to move on, y'all. I'm really through. I'm done. I don't understand that, Bishop. Listen, if you humble yourself, I'll exalt. If you exalt yourself, I got to humble you. So he wanted to talk to Moses. He did so on a mountain. He started his journey on a mountain. Watch this. Even when Elijah crushes the prophet's Baal, they was on a mountain. God is a mountaintop type God. But when we get to the New Testament and Paul had put himself on a mountain, he had to knock him down. Oh, so since you elevated yourself, let me put you down. Because if you would have been down, I would have brought you up. But since you put yourself up, I got to take you down. Some of us think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. All right, Jesus is greater. We're going to get this lost honor. Somebody say, he's greater. All week, every time something comes up to try to worry you, just put that little Jesus greater than symbol right there next to it. Something coming up in your life and you like, oh God, just Jesus greater than. Greater than. Like, just something get ugly in your life, I need you to put whatever is ugly on the right side of that greater than symbol. I hope somebody heard me in the spirit. Put the problem on the right side. Still didn't hear me. Proper place. Put your drama on the right or correct side of this symbol. Because don't nothing go on that side where Jesus go but Jesus. If I put anything else over there, it's the wrong side. Father, I thank you. I honor you. I give you praise. Thank you for your word. Thank you for truth. Thank you for your challenge. Thank you for your stretch. In Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen and amen. Clap those hands. How many of y'all got stretched out today? It's going to be a great year, isn't it? It's going to be a great year. Thank you all. We're grateful. Get the mic for Bishop Daphne. We're going to prepare our hearts for giving. I challenge all of you as she's about to speak, look at your life and get some perspective. Some of the stuff you've been in drama about, worried about, going through about, all that stuff, put it on the right side. Put it on the right side of the greater than. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.